Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message. Come back into this Speak series. Nothing moves until you speak. How many of you believe that? That there is power in your words. I'm a declaration guy. There's power in what we say. And today we'll not only talk about declaration, we'll talk about the power of decree. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. This is what Jesus said. Then Jesus said to the disciples, four words. He said, have faith in God. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. Not might, not maybe, not could. It will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything. And if you believe that you received it, it will be yours. Let me just read that again. I tell you, you can pray for anything. And if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. Before we even sit down, can I just encourage you that every prayer you pray, you're speaking to mountains. Every word that you speak, you are speaking to mountains. So when you speak, you ought to just begin and you ought to just have faith that I'm going to begin to hear the rumble of mountains moving and impossibilities becoming possible in Jesus' name. Praise God. You may be seated. Somebody say, nothing moves until you speak. I've been watching a lot of Dominion Camp Meeting online this week with Pastor Rod Parsley and that crew up there, and so I'm excited to preach, praise God. You watch that camp meeting, you start wanting to preach a little bit, and so I've come to share a word with you that I believe will change your life. It has changed my life, and it is something that I'm still perfecting. It is a craft that I'm still honing, that I don't want anything to escape my lips that does not build life, that does not create life. It's not just speaking the right things. It's just as important not to speak the wrong things. Because you can make a declaration on Sunday morning and you can undo that declaration on Sunday afternoon at the restaurant. You can make a declaration in this altar and you can undo that declaration by something that you say when you get in your car before you ever leave the parking lot. So I want to encourage you to guard your mouth. In the first series a couple weeks ago, first message of this series, we talked about how the world loves to talk about manifesting. That you can literally, by your thought life, think things into being. But if that were true, our lives would look totally different if all we had to do was think it and it happened. It's going to take more than your thought. Now, your thought life does matter because Proverbs 23:7 says, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So it does start in your mind. It starts in your mind before it can come out of your mouth, but your thought life is what begins to shape your obedience, and your obedience determines your actions. But Jesus says in our theme scripture here in verse 22, four words that will change your life, and it should change how you speak. Have faith in God. If you are not going to speak right, if you're not going to have faith, then what you say is not really going to matter. Because you and I both know people that love to run their mouth, but they don't have a lot of fruit to show for it. If you know somebody that likes to talk a lot, just look past their words and look at the tree of their life and see if there is any fruit that has shown up. When we have faith in God, we are building a foundation of faith that we can stand on and then speak from. And so we have faith in God's word, we have faith in God's will, we have faith in God's promises. Proverbs 18:21 out of the book of wisdom says, a tongue can bring forth death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. You will reap the consequences of faith-filled talk, and those consequences are rewards and the favor of God and the promises of God established in your life, or the consequences of negative talk and defaming and gossip talk is fruit that you and I don't want to eat. It is rotten fruit. So understanding that our words carry power. Whatever you and I speak consistently about, praise God, becomes our reality. which means this: if you don't like what you're seeing, change what you're saying. If you don't like what you see at your house, change how you speak at your house. If you don't like what you're seeing in your marriage, start speaking love and life into that marriage. If you don't like how your kids are going, speak life. If you don't like how the government, oh, come on now. Speak life. Turn the TV off and speak life. Turn social media off and speak life. This nation will be blessed. And even if this nation keeps going the way it's going, my house is like the nation of Israel in Goshen. My house is gonna be blessed. My house is not gonna be filled with all the chaos and turmoil of this world. They say if you see something, you should say something. But if you want to see something, you should also say something. Job chapter 22, and unless you've done a very in-depth look into Job's life, we really stop after chapter 1, and we fast forward about 40 chapters to the end, but right in the middle of Job's story, there are three verses that I believe are going to encourage you. This is how it reads in the King James Version. For then thou have the delight in the Almighty, and you will lift up your face unto God. Thou shalt make thy prayer, what you speak, unto him. And he shall hear you. Can I just remind every believer in the room today that God hears you? That when you speak, God hears every word. There is not one word that you have ever prayed that has fallen to the earth, but God catches every one of those words. In the book of Daniel, the Bible says that Daniel prayed, and the prince of Persia withstood him for 21 days. But Michael, the archangel, was fighting for Daniel's word. He said, I'm coming for those words. He cannot return void unto him, and he shall... Verse 28, here's the word of the day. Thou shalt decree. Declaration and decree is something different. When you declare something with a loud, strong voice, you are speaking something. But when you decree, that word decree in the Hebrew is the word daf. It means a commandment. It means the law. So when we decree the word of God, we are decreeing the law of God. When you decree the law of God, what you are announcing to the world is I am reminding you not of the laws that you think you live by, but the law that God has governed that I live by. And you are reminding the enemy when you say, by his stripes I am healed. What you are decreeing is this is a law that God has set into motion for believers. And you don't have to like it, but praise God, you have to live by it. That's why when we say declare and decree and speak, what we are saying is from a place of faith, put your feet down in the ground and in a loud, clear voice, start decreeing the word of God, the command of God, and the law of God. And that's why every knee will bow to the law. Every tongue will confess to the law. They don't have to like it. But they have to live by it. Not your law, not my law, his law. That's why, praise God, you say, I've got some declarations. That's good, but you need to remind the devil, no, I'm decreeing, praise God. I'm decreeing the law of God. Decree in the Greek comes from a word that we are very familiar with, dogma. Dogma means it is a law, civil, ceremonial, or ecclesiastical, the moral law. Some of us, we are saying the right thing with the wrong heart. And unless the words in your mouth match the attitude of your heart, remember, God looks at the heart first, and then he listens to the mouth. Come on, somebody. You say, prove that with scripture. Jesus said, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Meaning that God, when he hears the words coming out of our mouth, he is looking at our heart to make sure our heart is aligned with what we are saying. And if our heart is aligned with what is coming out of our mouth, God sends angels to make sure that this world follows his law about your life. Clean heart. Clean words, heart and mouth have to match. Saying moral things decreeing moral things, decreeing the law of God with an immoral heart and unclean hands does not move mountains. I'm not going to talk about you. I'll talk about me. There has been times where I have spoken to mountains just for them to laugh back at me. Spoke to mountains where they just said, we ain't moving. Why aren't they moving? Because all I'm doing is moving my mouth and syllables are coming out. If words are what moves mountains, that's not miraculous, it's magic. And we are not dealing in magic. Living Way and Christian, we're not horoscope people. We're not burning sage. We're not having seance. We're not messing with the occult and the Ouija board. We're not saying, well, if you say these eight words, God's going to give you a miracle. That is not how this works. God is looking at your heart. He's looking on what you're standing on. Are you being obedient? And then when you open your mouth, mountains will move. There's a judicial practice, judicial doctrine called the clean hands doctrine. It is a person who is seeking equitable relief must be free of wrongdoing in the matter they are complaining about. I didn't learn this in law school. I learned it watching Judge Judy. And that happens quite a bit. You've got a drug dealer who met a better drug dealer, and the lesser drug dealer got shaken down by the better drug dealer. And so the lesser drug dealer takes the other drug dealer to court and wants his money or his supply back. And Judge Judy says, are you kidding me? You can't sue someone when you are not in an ethical or moral place or a place that is abiding by the law, meaning this, if we are not abiding by God's word, we don't have a clean heart. We don't have clean hands. And so when we speak, the devil says, I'm not moving. It goes right back to the sons of Sceva. Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. But I don't know who you are. You don't have a clean heart. You don't have a clean hand. And so when you say something, it doesn't matter. Clean heart, clean hands, moves mountains. When we talk about the power of decree and God's command, Job 22, verse 26 through 28, it perfectly illustrates it. But now I want to read it in the New Living Translation. Then you will take delight in the Almighty and look up to God. You will pray to him and he will hear you. And you will fulfill your vows to him. You will fulfill your vows to him. You will succeed in whatever you choose to do. And the light will shine on the road ahead of you. We love to talk about the success. We love to talk about the favor of God. We love to talk about I'm too blessed to be stressed and too anointed to be disappointed. And all of these cliches, and I believe them if they're coming from clean heart with clean hands. But this is what God is encouraging Job with. He said, you're going to talk to me and I'm going to talk back. When you talk to me, I'm going to talk back. When I talk back, I'm going to give you something to do. When you do that, that's called obedience. It's going to determine your actions. When you are obedient to all that you have vowed me, he said, you will have great success in whatever you do, and the light will shine you on you and the road in front of you. What a great promise, but it all comes down to this. Are we being obedient to what God has called us to do so that when we stand up and say what he's called us to say, our words have value and work. Declaration, if you're taking notes, write this down. Declaration and decree must be made from the finish line of total obedience. We have to walk in obedience, church. God tells you to do this. God, yes, I will do that. Yes, I will be faithful. Yes, I will trust you. Yes, I will do those things that you are calling me to do that make me uncomfortable. Yes, I will be stretched beyond my comfort zone. If that's what you want me to do, then that's what I will do. It is that obedience that gives us the voice and gives us the faith that when we stand looking at a mountain, we are not just mimicking what Pastor Becky has said or Miss Tammy has said, but when we speak knowing that I've heard God and I've talked to God and I've been obedient to God. And so my heart is right and my mouth now matches my heart. So when I speak, things move. When we decree something, I like how God gave this to me. When we decree something, we are saying, God, I want you to do what only you can do because I have done what only I can do. Let me talk to the husbands in the room today. Your wife can't worship for you. Let me talk to the wife. Your husband can't worship for you. Let me talk to the kids or the young people. Your parents can't worship for you. They're not going to be standing up there giving God a good word for you. You are going to stand before God, and God is going to look at your heart, and he's either going to say, well done, thou good and faithful speaker. Nope. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You serve right, you'll speak right. When we decree, we have to say, God, I want you to do what only you can do, because I've done what only I can do. Have you ever talked to somebody and they've told you, maybe it's someone you work with, and maybe you've raised small children and you've asked them to do something and they just told you that they could not get it done. And you know that they didn't even try, or they didn't try very hard. When you say, God, I need you to do the impossible. I need you to move the mountains. What you and I have to be ready to say is, God, I've exhausted every resource I have. Every resource you have given me, all power that you have given me, I have used it all to prepare for this moment. For when I speak, I need you to step in and move the mountains that I cannot move. You have to be able to say, I've exhausted every resource. There's I don't know if she's here today, but a great woman from this church for years and years worked here named Trish Neal. Any Trish Neal fans in the room? Worked here for 16 years, and absolutely an amazing woman of God, an amazing organizer, and just an amazing person all the way around. Trish, if you're watching this, I love you, and I've begged her to come back to work here like 3 or 4 or 5 times, and the timing's never right, but one day I'm going to get her back, praise God. But I used to call Trish or step in her office, and I'd said, hey, what happened with this situation? And she would give me the rundown, and she would say, there's nothing else to do. And I knew when she said that, I could rest in her saying that, because I know that she was not just blowing smoke. I knew that she had made calls, texts, and emails. I knew that she had met with people. I knew that she had called 2 or 3 people to get the job done. And so if the job could get done, it would have gotten done by her hand. But I also know that as her employer or her boss in that moment, I have to be able to rest and say, okay, she's done everything she can do. Now, if there's something I can do to add to that, let me step in. Can I encourage you that God does not have to step in to do the impossible until we have done everything we can do to do the possible? That's why as a pastor, man, it hurts my heart to see people that come in 3 or 4 times a year and they rush this altar with big tears in their face, and God works a miracle for them or does something just for them to run out for another 3 or 4 months, and we don't see them again until all hell is breaking loose. I want people that have walked with God, and I want people that have served God, and I want people that have given their life and their time and talent and treasure. But God needs to know before you speak and expect me to move mountains, have you done your part? I love what Charles Spurgeon said. He said, the word of God is like a lion. You don't have to defend a lion. All you have to do is let the lion loose, and it will defend itself. Can I encourage you that when we walk in obedience, church, and when we get up and decree something, every time you decree something, you're letting the lion loose. Every time you say the word of God, you're letting the lion loose. Every time you stand on the promise of God and say, the devil is a liar, this is what my Bible says, this is what my God has promised me, I thought I'd get a better amen on a Sunday morning. Let the lion loose. Every time you worship, you let the lion loose. Every time you pray, you let the lion loose. And the lion doesn't need you to defend him. The lion will defend himself. Let the lion loose. Let the lion loose. In him I move, I live, and I have my being. I let the lion loose. I am more than a conqueror. I let the lion loose. I am saved, praise God, because of the redeeming blood of Jesus. I am letting the lion loose. Don't know what to say, just say Jesus. He is the lion, praise God, of the tribe of Judah. At the end of a judicial case, after the defense and the prosecution have made their final arguments, they will say, I rest my case. It is finished, is what they're saying. We presented all the evidence, all the witnesses, all the arguments. And now it is up to the judge or the jury, but it is up to the judge to make his final decision. When you and I declare and decree, when you declare the word of God on a Tuesday morning, you are making your case. You are saying, this is what the law says. This is how life is not matching up with God's law for me. And so after you have done all of that and exhausted all of your resources, you can say, I rest my case. Or you can say it like this, it is finished. And then God will step in and do what only God can do. And after you have presented your case by decreeing the word of God and declaring the law of God, you will begin to hear a rumble of the mountains that God is getting ready to move. And that is God amening what you have said. When the mountains move in your life, God is literally from heaven saying, amen, amen, mountain moved. All that to say, when we decree, we are letting everyone know what the law, what God's word, will, and promise has said that God would do, and we are holding that world, the world, to his word, that situation and circumstance accountable to what God has said. You know, the devil doesn't mind. He knows what God has said. He just hopes you don't know what God said. Because he knows if you know it and I know it and we start speaking and declaring that thing in faith, it is going to change things. When a law is broken, you are going to hear from the judge. You need to remind the world that we serve a God that says, vengeance is mine. That's found in Romans chapter 12, verse 19. The great Billy Graham said this, the Bible is God's word. And when you speak it in faith, it has the power to change lives, starting with your own. Here's the thing, my ears have heard me say, by your stripes I am healed, more than your ears have heard me say it. Can I encourage you that your words when nobody's listening still matter? Because God hears it, the enemy hears it, but you hear it. Quit calling yourself stupid. Quit saying it's never going to happen for me. Quit saying, oh, I feel like I'm going to die from the same thing my granddad and my dad died from. Quit saying things like, we've always been broken. That's how it's always going to be. Or I didn't raise little Johnny in church, and so I don't know if he's ever. Start speaking life. God hears it. The enemy hears it, but you hear it. Let's talk about some powerful declarations here in the next couple, in our closing couple minutes here. Number one, I am a child of God. You ought to wake up every day reminding yourself and the enemy, I am a child of God. John chapter 1, verse 12, but to all who did receive him and believed in his name, he gave the right. Somebody say, it's my right. He gave the right to become the sons of God, the children of God. When we said yes to Jesus and received salvation, God gave us legal access and authority. When you see that right here in this scripture, it is from the Greek. It comes from the word exousia. It means legal authority or power. So when you say, I am a child of God, you are reminding the adversary, I have a right into the family of the Most High God. You know, the same Jesus that kicked your tail 2,000 years ago, that's my elder brother. His father is my father, and I've been adopted into the family. You are not just saved when you say yes. You are legally adopted into God's family with full rights. Somebody say full rights. And a full inheritance. Somebody say full inheritance. Got a 21-year-old son and an 18-year-old daughter that have full access to me. They have full access to my office. Even Mandy knocks before she comes in because she's just that nice. My kids have never knocked. They got keys to my office. There are drinks that are missing from my refrigerator. There are snacks missing from my snack bin. But they are my children. They have full access. They don't have to ask because they have such a relationship with the Father that they can boldly come in and say, hey, what's his is mine and what mine is his, praise God. And you say, you don't get mad. You know why I don't get mad? Because I've never knocked on my dad's door. I walk straight in there and I sit down in his couch and I drink his drinks and I have his snacks. Pastor Becky's trying to get me to fall off the wagon and She has these crunch bars in her office, and she did her best to hide them in the back of the closet, but your boy can sniff them out. And I know what time she's usually in the office and what time she's not. And so I'll go in there when she's not in there, and I'll take just enough so she doesn't know that they're missing. The only problem is I was the only one eating them. And so for Father's Day, she bought me a big old bag of my own. Praise God. Access. Can I remind you, as a child of God, you have access. So when you get up in the morning and you declare, I am a child of God, I have access to the Father. My brother is Jesus Christ. I'm blessed coming in and going out because of the Father. I am the head and not the tail because of the Father. I am above and not below because of the Father. I know the enemy's after me, but I've got a great Father that will defend me. I got an older brother that will bully the bully if it gets to that. Praise God. Stand on your feet. I am a child of God. One of the things that this series has done for me is it has given me greater declaration from these declarations I've heard all of my life. So when we say, I am a child of God, bad news happens. I'm a child of God. Do you know who I am? I'm a child of God. I've said it so many times. This woman right here, an absolutely amazing Christian, an amazing mother, absolutely amazing. The greatest thing she's done for me, of course, is Jesus. But for the last 43 years, she has given me an irrational confidence. That when things don't work out in my favor, I'm shocked. Because she's always told me, God favors you. You are anointed. You are the best. There's no one like you. And she's done that for Sean and I. And so when things have broken down, or I might be in the middle of my miracle and it doesn't look like what the law decreed it would look like, I have to remind myself that I am, praise God, a child of God. And I do have the faith to get me through this, to get me to this, and to get me to that thing that God has for me. I am a child of God. Romans 8, verse 17, one more scripture and thought before we open the altar. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are the heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share in his suffering. Church, your identity is settled in Jesus Christ. The moment you believe, your spiritual status changes permanently. You go from an orphan to an heir, praise God. From an outsider to the beloved. Through Jesus, we have full access to the Father's heart and the Father's blessing. The declaration, I am a child of God, is great. But there's a little more to that declaration. I am a child of God. He chose me, and he adopted me into his family. I am a child of God. Very rarely are the first three people to hit the altar men of God. But here three great men of God stand. The ice is broken. Sometimes it's tough for us men because of ego and pride and toxic masculinity. Sometimes it's tough for us to remember, hey, as we might be big and tough, but we're still God's children. And sometimes this father and this father and this father, we have to go to the Father. I'm so grateful for this man, Michael Vell. I'll just share just something about him real quick that has always encouraged me. He has walked up to me hundreds of times, and he said, I love you. I'm proud of you. You're doing a great job. I'm praying for you. All of these things that he always tells me. But he does something that when I was younger, I didn't like, but now I love. He'll come up to me and say, you know, Pastor, so-and-so was running their mouth about you the other day. And he calls your names. And he says, but I told him, stop it right now, because the guy you're talking about is not the one I know. And I'm so grateful for that, because I don't need you telling me what they said. I need to know what you said to defend me in that situation. Brother Mike, I don't know why you're here today, but I know that